If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you've been around here for any point of time, you've heard me use this phrase, following Jesus. We've talked about it quite frequently, and I generally find one way or another to fit that into my message each and every week. The fact that we are called to follow Jesus, and the reason is that I fit it in is because it's what we're called to do. It's obvious that's God's desire for life. He says to come and to follow me. And so I regularly am talking about following Jesus. His word tells us to take up our cross daily and to follow him. Our life is a journey of learning what that looks like. It's learning what does it look like to really follow him. Part of that journey is learning how to hear his voice. How to hear his voice in the midst of it, and learning what it looks like to hear the voice of the Lord. And as we hear his voice, it will direct us in the plans and that he has for us, and it will allow us to truly follow him. God's desire is that we learn to be able to distinguish his voice from other voices. Because oftentimes there are other voices that try to pull us in different directions away from the direction God is calling us to follow him. Now the truth is, it's not easy. It's not easy at times to hear God's voice in the midst of the world that we live in and the chaos and clutter that happens all around us. It's challenging to know, what is it that God's calling me to do? Am I supposed to go here or am I supposed to go here? Which direction? Where should I go? 3 or 4 weeks ago, you may remember I talked about doors opening and closing, and I kind of shared a little bit about how I'm getting frustrated with that term, doors opening and closing. Because we as Christians like to use that phrase a lot, that, oh, God opened this door, God closed this door. But sometimes I've realized and discovered that we use those phrases to justify our action. When we do something, we say, well, God opened this door, and we try to convince ourselves or to convince others that that's why we're doing this, because God opened this door. Or the Lord is closing this door, and so I had to stop going in that direction, and we use it to justify. And here's the thing, I don't deny the fact that God opens and closes doors. We even read several weeks ago, you know, that what God opens, no one can shut. What God shuts, no one can open. So God does open and close doors. But if you remember, I posed a few questions to you 3 or 4 weeks ago about those responses. And here's what I asked. And this is the challenging thing. This is the difficult thing about hearing the voice of the Lord. I asked, is God really closing the door? Or is our fear just causing us to be afraid to step through it? And then vice versa, is God really opening that door? Or is it just an easy way out of the hardships and challenges that lie before us? Because I don't believe God just calls us into this perfect, easy path. I don't know how many of you have lived your life for Jesus and believe that it's just this quick, easy little path where everything happens magically. No, there's challenges. It's difficult. In times, we're going to come up against opposition. But is that a door closing or is that the enemy coming against us where we need to push through? We need to push through those doors that he's trying to close. And these are tough questions that I ask here that require us to really ask ourselves, are we really hearing the voice of the Lord? Or are we just responding to what we want or to what we desire? See, because if you remember what I was talking about, it was the 10 spies. The Israelites thought the door was closing, but it wasn't. It wasn't. They just lacked the faith to move forward. And because they failed to move forward, because they failed to really hear what God wanted for them, they missed out on the blessing that God had for them. They missed out on the promised land. It was after that message that someone suggested to me that maybe I could speak sometime on how to hear God's voice. How do you really know God's voice? How do you hear God's voice? Because it's challenging. It's hard to hear and know what God's will for your life is, especially if you've never really lived that way before, of living your life to follow Jesus in everything that you do. So this morning, I'm going to do my best to talk about hearing God's voice. That's the title of the message this morning, hearing God's voice. And I'm going to do my best to talk about that. Now, I'm in no way an expert, all right, on this. As a matter of fact, I've realized that I'm one of those guys that's able to do things. I just do things. I don't know why. I instinctively can do things, and I don't know how I do them sometimes, right? You know, and how do you explain how you do something when you're not even sure sometimes how you just do it, all right? But I'm going to do my best. And after I was asked that question, I really struggled with, okay, how do I hear the Lord? How would I share that? How would I speak that on a Sunday morning? And sometimes, honestly, I can't explain it. Sometimes when you ask, well, how did you know it was the Lord? I don't know. I just knew. There was something in me that just knew. So how do you teach just knowing? How do you teach? Oh, you just know. You don't. So over the last several weeks, I've really been praying. And I've been, you know, I've been looking at some scriptures over the last several weeks, just praying that the Lord would give me some wisdom on how to teach people to hear Him. How do I help someone that's asked that question really learn how to hear Him? And over these last few weeks, the Lord kept bringing me back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, many of you are probably familiar with the scripture. We used to hear this scripture way back in Sunday school. You know, they loved to share it with young kids about a young boy hearing the voice of God. And so years ago, if you grew up in Sunday school, you've probably heard the story of Samuel. And I realized this is a great scripture on hearing the voice of God, that God can really speak to us through this scripture. And so I want to take a look this morning at 1 Samuel 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 and see if God can't speak to us through these verses this morning. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here in 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. It says this. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." Let me give you a little background here. Some of you may be familiar with this, but Hannah, his mother, was barren and had no children and really wanted to have a child. And so she had prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will give this child back to you," basically, just paraphrasing it. And so what happened is she received Samuel. God gave her a child and had Samuel, and she gave it back to the service of the Lord. And so she had brought it to the temple to serve under Eli. And so it says there, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." And then it says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Verse 2, "One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am,' and he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me?' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me?' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me?' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." As I prayed and read through these scriptures and studied them over the last several weeks, God showed me four things through the scriptures about hearing His voice. about knowing His voice. This morning I want to do something real quick as we head into this first one. Last week I did an illustrated sermon at some of you where I was building as I was working, and afterwards Gary had told me how he loves those illustrated sermons because he can just grab a hold of it better and remember things better. So I thought, okay, Gary liked those. Well, then how about I make him part of my sermon illustration? And so I'm going to have Gary come up here again this morning with me. Your wife says that all the time. So I'm going to do something with Gary. This is a real simple thing I'm going to do with Gary. I'm going to have Gary, and I'm going to trust that Gary's not cheating here, okay? I'm going to have Gary turn here and face this direction, all right? Yes, I heard you playing cards will cheat from time to time. So I'm going to have him face this direction. I'm going to even have him close his eyes so that he can't hear. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out here into the people, all right? And I'm going to have, I'm probably going to have about three of you. Oop, are we good here? I'm going to have about three of you say, hi Gary, good morning, okay? And Gary, you have to identify who's saying, hi Gary, good morning to you, all right? Think you can do that? Putting Gary on the spot, he's like, I don't know voices, how am I supposed to do this, okay? So let's try this test.
Test, is this, there we go.
Here we go. Let's try this here. Let's,
hi Gary, good morning.
All right, Gary, do you know who that was? Do you need to hear it again? Okay, listen.
Hi, Gary. Good morning.
All right, Larry. Good job, all right? One for one. Nice job. All right, you still got your eyes closed over there? All right, I'm going to have you listen to this one.
Hi, Gary. Good morning.
Do you want to hear that one again?
No, that's what he calls me.
Oh. Okay, good. That threw me off. I'm like, oh my gosh, you just ruined my illustration. All right. And here we go.
Hi, Gary. Good morning.
Do you know who that is?
Hi, Gary. Good morning.
All right, he doesn't know who that was. That was Tammy. And see, there's a reason you don't know who that is, because you don't know Tammy very well. I mean, you've met here and there, but it helps with my illustration. You can sit down, Gary. Thank you. I was a little worried in asking Gary. He's like, I don't know voices. I'm not going to know anyone. So I was like, I hope I can at least find a few that he knows, a few voices. Why didn't Gary recognize Tammy's voice? Because he doesn't really know her well, all right? He's, you know, when you just talk to someone a couple different times here at church, it's hard, you're not going to remember whose voice. I have enough trouble just remembering names when I see your faces and seeing those things, right? He didn't really recognize her voice because he doesn't really know her. He knows Larry, he knows his wife, he's been enough around them that he recognized their voice. Why didn't Samuel recognize God's voice when God was calling out to him? It tells us in verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Point number one, to hear God's voice, we have to know Him. We have to know Him. And not just as an acquaintance, not just, oh, I've heard of Him. No, we have to know Him. We have to know the Lord. And there are two parts of this. The first has to do with salvation. Okay, there's salvation, the reality of being part of His people, being part of His flock, you might say. You know, a prerequisite to hearing the shepherd is you must be one of His sheep. It tells us this in the scriptures. John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then John 8:47 says this, he who is of God, relationship, salvation with Jesus Christ, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. One of the prerequisites to hearing the Lord, to hearing His voice, is we have to have relationship with Him. We have to know Him. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to hear His voice. If we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then it's impossible for us to hear the Lord. Unless He wants you to. We know that Paul, he knocked off his donkey and he spoke to him, right? But it's different. This is the hearing the Lord, to follow Him. We have to know Him. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to hear Him. When it comes to that realization, or when we come to the realization that we need a Savior, and that we confess our sins and turn our lives over to Him, the Great Shepherd, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and gives us access to the Father. Verse 1, it says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. It says the word of the Lord was rare. And it's because they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to communicate with the Father. The Lord spoke when He wanted to speak. And there were many times in the Old Testament where He was silent. But we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and He conquered sin and death, and He reopened the access that we had had with the Father before the fall. If you read in early Genesis, you know, Adam and Eve, they could communicate with the Lord. They could speak with Him. They knew Him. They knew His voice. But then what happened when the fall? They were sent out and there was this separation. And they could no longer communicate with the Lord. But because of Jesus Christ, we now are able to communicate with Him. And able to hear His voice. But here's the thing, so it's two parts. I said the salvation, but it's also taking time to be with Him and to truly get to know Him. We have to know Him. And knowing Him means spending time with Him and engaging Him. You see, Gary knew Marsha's voice. That scared me because it was going to mess up my illustration here. Gary knew Joanne's voice better than anyone else, right? He heard it and he immediately responded. He didn't have to say, let me hear it again, let me listen again. He knew it immediately. He knew it better than anyone else's because he spends time with her day in and day out. They are together. Why? Because they're married and because they love each other. It wouldn't be much of a marriage if they didn't love each other and spend time with each other. How many of you have heard of us referred to as the Bride of Christ? In the Scriptures, we're referred to as the Bride of Christ. In Revelations, we the church, meaning us, we are the church, is referred to as the Bride of Christ or the Bride of the Lamb. You see, there's a reason that reference is used, that God uses that reference, because it's that kind of relationship that God desires with us. It's not just an acquaintance. No, He wants a personal relationship with us, that kind of marriage relationship where we spend time together, we know each other well. That's the kind of relationship He desires with us. The only way we're going to know the voice of God is if we are spending time with Him. And there are many ways that we can do this. There are many different ways that we can grow and spend time with the Lord and seek Him. But I would encourage you, if you're struggling with hearing the Lord and that relationship, I would encourage you to start by just opening up His Word. Because it's called His Word because it is His voice speaking to us. Opening up His Word and praying that He would just reveal Himself to you. You can't draw much closer to the Lord than praying and reading His Word. Seeking Him and spending time with Him. And I encourage you to start with that. So that you can hear God's voice. Because you know Him. You know it. You're with Him. You continually hear Him speaking to you, and you're able to decipher His voice from other voices. To hear God's voice, we have to know Him. Secondly, to hear God's voice, we have to be listening for it. We have to be listening for it. In verses 8 and 9, it says this. It says, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, though it doesn't say it, we can only assume that Samuel laid there intently listening and waiting for the voice of the Lord, to be told that, no, it's not me, God is speaking to you. I imagine he went there and he was just eyes wide open, intently listening, waiting once again to hear the voice of the Lord. And here's the thing about Samuel, it was his nature to listen. As a young boy who was learning to serve under the leadership of Eli, he regularly listened to the voice of his master, which was Eli at this time. He listened for his master's voice regularly because he knew at any time Eli could call for him. So he was always listening. He always had his ears open to run. That's why he immediately ran and said, "What can I do for you? Your servant is listening. How can I help?" He came intently because he learned and he knew he had to listen to the master. He was trained to listen. He valued the words of his master and he was always attentive and aware of his voice. And I believe we need to train ourselves to listen regularly for the voice of the Lord. Because the fact is, there are so many things that can distract us from His voice. There are so many things that can distort the voice of the Lord that get in the way. And if we aren't focusing and intently listening for the Lord's voice, we might miss it. Let me share a fun illustration I have for you. It's titled "The Native American and the Cricket." It says this. It says, "A Native American and his friend were in downtown New York City." That's a quiet place, isn't it? Downtown New York City. "Walking near Times Square in Manhattan. It was during the noon lunch hour and the streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns, taxicabs were squealing around corners, sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly the Native American said, 'Do you hear that? I hear a cricket.' His friend said, 'What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise.' 'No. No, I'm sure of it,' the Native American said. 'I heard a cricket.' 'That's crazy,' said the friend. The Native American listened carefully for a moment, and then he walked across the street to a big cement planter where there were some shrubs growing. He looked into the brushes, and beneath the brushes, sure enough, he located a small cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. 'That's incredible,' said his friend. 'You must have like superhuman ears or something.' 'No,' said the Native American. 'My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for.' 'But that can't be,' said the friend. 'I could never hear a cricket in all this noise.' 'No, no, it's true,' came the reply. 'It depends on what's really important to you.' He says, 'Here, let me show you.' He reached into his pocket and pulled out his cell phone. He then pushed a few numbers and made it ring. With the noise of the crowded street still blaring in their ears, they noticed every person within 20 feet turn and look to see if it was their phone that was ringing." "See what I mean?" asked the Native American. "It all depends on what's important to you." We have to make listening to the Lord a priority. We have to be focusing and listening for His voice, even in the midst of the busyness of life. Because again, there are so many things that can distract. But if we're listening and seeking to hear His voice, I believe that we'll hear it. The third thing I've discovered about hearing God's voice is this. To hear God's voice, it requires faith. It does. It requires faith. In verse 10 it says, "The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" How did he know it was God's voice? He didn't. It says in verse 7 that the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. So he didn't know for sure that this was God's voice. But in faith, he trusted that Eli knew what he was talking about. Hearing God's voice sometimes requires faith, right? How many of you in this room have ever had God speak to you in an audible voice? Have you ever had God just say, "Darren, you are supposed to do this"? I know of a few people that have had an audible voice, and that's amazing, because at that point you know, either that or it's someone on a loudspeaker hidden that's talked you into doing something you probably shouldn't have done. But no, I'm just kidding about that. But I have never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I've never heard that voice that it's like, there is no doubt, right? We see it in the Bible a few times. God, it says it speaks from above, and you hear His voice saying, this is my Son, I'm well pleased. We've heard, we know, and I know of some people that have heard an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice, so how do I know it's the Lord? By faith. It's by faith. I've had numerous times in my life where I've tried to tell myself it wasn't the Lord. When God wants you to do something or go share something with someone or speak in some way, and what do we try to do? We try to talk ourselves out. Oh, no, that's not the Lord. That's just me, right? We lack the faith to believe that, no, maybe God is wanting to use you at this moment and this time to do something, to speak into someone's life, to encourage someone. When I lack faith, I generally write those off as my own thoughts or as some bad pizza or something from the night before, right? Oh, that's not me. That must be the pizza from the night before. When I lack faith, I write those things off. When many times, when I look back, it probably was the Lord. And because of my lack of faith, I missed out on the opportunity that He had put before me. How many times do we miss out because of our lack of faith? We hear something like, oh, no, that's not. I forget that. I'm not doing that. No way am I doing that, right? Because of our lack of faith, we miss out on those things that God is trying to ask us to do. Now, some of you may ask, well, how can you be sure that it's God? Honestly, I don't know at times that there are ways that we can fully be sure. That's why it's called faith, right? That's why we call it faith. That's why it requires faith. Trusting in the Lord and in your relationship with Him. Trusting that you are able to hear, that it's not the food from the night before, it's the Lord speaking to you. Now, my perspective on this is if it doesn't contradict the Word of God, and if it isn't harmful to you or to others, then what can it hurt? If maybe there's something that's like, I don't know if I should do that. You know, go tell that person God loves them. Oh, I don't know if I should do that. They're going to think I'm a freak. They're going to think I'm weird. But if it doesn't contradict the Word of God, if it isn't harmful to you or them, what does it hurt to do it? They may think you're weird, but more often than not, I've had those circumstances and people are actually very encouraging. They're like, you know what? I needed that. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for being that word of encouragement to me. I heard a pastor once say that one of his professors in Bible college challenged them. As students, he challenged them in this area. He said, I challenge you this. He said, I challenge you that any time you feel an urge to do something, as long as it is in line with the Word of God, to do it and see what happens. Because we're going to have urges to do things that are not, right? We have those sinful urges that draw us, and we know that's not the Lord. But if there are those urges, those things inside of you that you're like, why do I feel like I should do this? Should I do this? He encouraged his class to do it and to see what comes of it. The pastor that was telling me this talked about how he found himself doing things like pushing grocery carts back into the store to help out, you know, doing things to help people and all these little things he found himself doing. And he said the more that he did, the more he felt led to do. And the more he responded to these urges, the more he was able to decipher and hear the voice of God in his life. What was God and what was other things? The truth is, I think we overcomplicate sometimes hearing the Lord. I think sometimes we think, well, we need that audible voice. It needs to be that powerful boom that tells us. And sometimes it's just the Lord just speaking little things into our life. Hey, go tell that person that they did a great job. We overcomplicate what the voice of the Lord sounds like. And sometimes the Lord is just wanting to use us to encourage people, to lift people up, and to speak to people in ways that we never even imagined. We fail to realize that the Lord speaks to us all the time. We fail to realize that those urges to do good things for others are usually the voice of the Lord and not us, because we always want to push, well, that's just me. Why? Why do we say that? Because I'm too busy. I don't have time to do that. Or no, they'll think I'm weird. There's so many things that we allow get in the way of allowing God to really speak to us. And here's the thing, if we learn to be faithful with those little things, what does the Bible say? If you're faithful with the little things, I'll give you greater things. I'll give you much. I'll give you more things. Which leads me to the fourth and final thing that the Lord has been teaching me about hearing His voice. And that's this, to hear God's voice requires obedience. And in this section, a way to put it would be, if we want to continue to hear God's voice, it requires obedience. But there's something about obedience that helps us hear the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:17-21 says this. It says, "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. Because the Lord, and we skipped over this, but the Lord spoke some harsh things about Eli and his family and some stuff that was going to happen. And he told Samuel. Samuel was probably about 12, they think. 12 to 18, somewhere in there, they think, at this time. So here's a young boy being told some things about his mentor that are some bad stuff. And Eli says, "What is it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And then verse 19, it says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord, someone who heard the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, and he was obedient to the Lord. And because of his obedience, he continued to hear his voice. You see, when God speaks to us, oftentimes it's to instruct us or to direct us. And his desire is that when we hear him, that we would walk in obedience. And the problem comes when we fail to walk in obedience. When we hear the Lord and we keep hearing his voice and we fail to walk in obedience. Sometimes it's because it's, like I said, it's out of fear. It's out of those things in our life. We're like, "Oh, that's not me. I can't do that. No, no way." And then we try to talk ourselves out. "Well, that wasn't God. No. God wouldn't ask me to do that." When we fail to walk in obedience, that's when the problems come. You see, if we haven't heard the Lord speak to us recently, my encouragement is to ask ourselves, what's the last thing we heard him say? What's the last thing we heard him say? Maybe he's silent because we failed to listen and respond to the last thing that he told us. It's not that God doesn't want to speak, it's that he's spoken. And he's waiting for us to respond to that voice and to walk in obedience to him. You see, disobedience can shut the doors of communication between us and the Lord, while obedience opens the doors. You heard me share last week, obedience opens the door to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to hear God's voice. When we walk in obedience, when we walk in his obedience, when we hear his voice and we respond in obedience, we're able to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. You see, God desires relationship with all of us, and he wants to be able to speak openly and clearly to each and every one of us. This morning I pointed out four things that I've learned about hearing God's voice. We have to know him. We have to be listening for him. We have to have faith that he will speak to us, that he does speak to us, and we have to walk and obedience. If we do these things, I really believe we will hear the voice of the Lord. We will hear the plans that he has for us. We will be able to follow him. But I think the bottom line is this, and all this is important, but you know, when people ask me, how do you hear the voice of the Lord? How do you know when God's speaking to you? And some people are challenged by that. And the struggles of, man, is it God? I don't know. I'm really trying to hear him. Here's where I lead you. Jeremiah 29:13. It says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." If we truly love the Lord, and if we are seeking him with all of our heart, we will find him. We will hear his voice and we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is Him. With all our heart, seeking Him. And that's a big thing, because oftentimes as we seek Him, we're really seeking Him to confirm what we want to do at times. I've been there, we've all done that. But we have to seek Him with all of our heart and trust that, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And that's the challenging thing, to hear His voice and to respond to it, even if it means packing up from a town over here, doing something you love, and have thought you wanted to do that the rest of your life, and God says, nope, it's time to move over here because I have something better for you. I told you, senior pastoring has been one of the greatest things I've ever done. I never thought it would be. But had I not been willing to say, okay, God, I hear Your voice, and I'm going to walk in obedience, then I wouldn't be able to know and understand and realize what an amazing blessing it is to follow Jesus and to do what He's called you to do instead of what we desire to do. If you seek Him, you will find Him. You will hear His voice. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And Lord, it's the desire, I think, of each of us as we're seeking to serve You, to love You. I believe we want to hear Your voice. We want to do the right things. We want to know what it is that You're calling us to do. And there are times in our life where we hear things, but because of our lack of faith, because of uncertainty, because it might not be what we want to do, we're afraid to step out in faith. We're afraid to walk in that obedience. We're afraid, what if it isn't You? Lord, I just pray that You teach us how to be people that hear Your voice. I said there are times in my life where I just know that moment in that conference when the pastor said, are you willing to lament the loss of your preferred future? I knew in that moment that You were calling me out of youth ministry to senior pastor. I can't explain how I knew, but I knew in my heart. And as we learn to seek You, as we learn to love You, as we know You, and that's the key, Lord, really knowing You, not just an acquaintance, not just Sunday mornings coming and spending some time in worship and hearing the Word, but every day of our life seeking You, seeking to hear Your voice, seeking to follow You. When we learn to know You in that way, Lord, I believe You will speak to us. And as we continue to walk in obedience, Lord, You will continue to guide us and direct us. And I believe, Lord, when we're doing that, regardless of where You may call us, Paul, it was prison. You called Paul to prison, and he faithfully served You. Others, Lord, have been blessed in great ways, and many of us would look and say, well, I want that life. But Lord, it's about what life You have called us to live and how we can experience the joy of the Lord in whatever it is. Teach us, help us to follow You, help us to hear Your voice in all that we do, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I encourage you this week to open up your ears and to listen for the voice of the Lord. If you do, He may ask you to do some things that you're not sure you're ready to do. But I guarantee you, as you step out in faith and as you continue to allow the Lord to speak to you, His voice will become more and more clear in your life. Amen.